RMWorldTravel.com is your place for show archives, travel news, sponsor links, and so much more. You can also connect with Robert and Mary and the RM World Travel Show team. Now, back to America's number one travel radio show.
Well, we are on a roll with this personal connection segment of the show, folks, and back-to-back-to-back weeks, they couldn't be more different, which is how we like it on the program. And today, we're sponsored by Hilton Grand Vacations.
And as you're considering your fall or even your winter travel plans, here's another way to enjoy locations that are as unique as you are, because as part of the Hilton portfolio of brands, Hilton Grand Vacations provides premier travel experiences. They have over 200 resorts in places like New York City, Mexico, Las Vegas, Italy, the UK, Japan, and more, including popular destinations like Florida, Colorado, Hawaii, Virginia, South Carolina, and elsewhere. And they provide spacious upscale accommodations with home-like features and resorts style amenities.
Wherever travel takes you next, you'll always feel at home with Hilton Grand Vacations, as they have so many perks waiting for you. Go to HiltonGrandVacations.com today to find out all the information, or RMWorldTravel.com under sponsors.
Okay, whether you fly frequently like we do, or even once or twice a year, I think we can all appreciate what our next guest has built. Anthony Bruno had a long career as a C-suite executive for several companies, but he pivoted to create iFly.com in 2004. iFly.com is your one-stop source for booking flights, monitoring flights, even monitoring wait times at security before you get to your airport, and more. He joins us now for today's personal connection segment of the show.
Yes, he does. Nice to have you aboard with us today, Anthony. Welcome.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, you are very welcome. You know, as someone who has personally enjoyed a successful entrepreneurial career, we love stories like yours. And I think most people can appreciate a good entrepreneurial story. As success is something as Americans we all strive for in our lives. I want you to share how and why you started iFly. I'm told you made a life-changing decision back in 1998, which may have, you know, been the beginning for you of entering the travel space. So let's start there.
Yeah, so I'm really an East Coaster born, but I ended up in California, said I'd be there for 5 years, ended up being 15 or more, I think, and was working in Silicon Valley tech for various startups and everything that goes along with it. And I met my wife there in California, and we met some Kiwis, some folks from New Zealand that we became great friends with, and learned about, you know, their world travels, and it inspired us to essentially quit, leave of absence, quit, kind of the same thing. And we decided to have a go at traveling around the world for, you know, as backpackers, we've seen the world more from a business perspective, but we're always jealous of people that had no agenda for the day and had a backpack on their back. So we wanted to try that. And so we gave it a go.
So, Anthony, and from what I understand, this was a year-long trip around the world, all kinds of destinations in there. You return home. You could have gone in any direction as an entrepreneur. You chose the airport and aviation airline space in travel. I'm curious what it was about airports and airlines that grabbed your attention, and what did you think at the time was missing that you felt iFly would just take off, pun intended, the way it did?
Yeah, so the business actually was started by a product manager over at MapQuest at the time, and he tried to sell it internally as a guide for, you know, that accompany the maps, and that didn't work out. So my business partner at the time really recognized the opportunity and said, hey, let's buy this domain and see if we can turn it into something that would be useful, you know, based on our experience. And from there, we turned it, you know, from a kind of small site with a great domain name to a destination site that has, you know, a million plus visitors every month going to get information about airports and travel.
Yeah, your numbers are impressive. And I'm pretty familiar with other competitors who offer flight tracking technology, Flight Radar being one of the big ones out there, if not the biggest. But you guys, so MapQuest, that's interesting, because one of the things I like on your site a lot are the interactive airport maps, but you also offer real-time airport security, wait times. You have a lot of content on iFly that competitors don't. Talk a little bit about more what you offer for travelers.
Yeah, if you think about it, whenever you go on an air travel trip, a plane trip, you're always visiting at least two airports, right? You're leaving somewhere and you're going somewhere else, and possibly three, hopefully not four. But the issue that we encountered was every airport has its own website and is pretty difficult to navigate if you're trying to go from one to the other. So the opportunity that we saw was, how can we aggregate the information and format it so when you're going from airport one to your layover airport, to your next airport, that it was structured in a way that, you would know how to access it and not have to learn three different websites. So that's really why we built iFly the way we did. And the data is just easier to consume. It's the same for each airport generally. Mm-hmm. And it just provides, you know, the same type of information so that you can have a really comfortable trip from an information perspective.
You know, as I'm listening to you, I mean, you know, we do an airport check-in segment on the show, and you are right. They all operate differently. Some are connected to their community governments, whether it's a city government, others are independent. I mean, it's just a whole
mishmash
out there.
And some of their sites are really
so,
cumbersome. Yeah.
You know, since you are...
Yeah, I mean, if you're going between LaGuardia and JFK, you might be okay, but not many people do that because it's all owned by the Port Authority. So
right.
Those sites all look and work the same, but right. Generally, that is just not the case, especially if you start traveling to other countries and you have translation issues and so on.
I would agree with that. You know, so this is our personal connection segment of the show that we call it, and it's really the impact, the where travel has a transformational aspect, just how travel you connect with and so forth. And you've personally traveled to more than 50 countries, I see, plus every state. I see you've passed through at least 200 airports or so. I'd enjoy hearing your thoughts on what you most appreciate in travel. What has done for you, maybe your family? Clearly, I'm guessing you like airports.
Well, I like efficient airports, that's for sure.
Well, amen to that, right.
Definitely have learned to appreciate, you know, the different systems and technologies. I'm a technology guy, so love to see the types of technology that is being employed in each airport, especially around security and that type of thing. Nobody likes to stand in the security queues. So I pay a lot of attention to that, and you definitely get a sense going from one airport to another. Which one is efficient, which one isn't, which one's really investing in the passenger experience and makes you feel kind of good about going through that airport. And, you know, some have made amazing transformations. Take LaGuardia, which I previously mentioned. That used to probably be at the bottom of the list of airports to visit, but the investment put into that airport, like many other airports, has really paid off, and the experience is much different than it ever was before. And it's, I don't want to say enjoyable, but it, maybe slightly.
No, you are. Listen, we fly in and out of LaGuardia. Actually, Mary and I are headed to LaGuardia after the show. And I would agree with you that...
Definitely more efficient.
It's but still, the one aspect that I have with LaGuardia, and nothing's going to change this, is, you know, you can't fly to San Francisco because there's a limit on where you can go.
Yeah.
And, you know, that runway is still short.
Right. Yeah, and they have noise abatement procedures and a bunch of other things that that restrict it. But yeah, there's a lot of examples, and really I've never seen, and this is probably just because of infrastructure dollars, there's so much activity going on in airports now, reconfiguring them, modernizing them. You don't have to walk around to find, you know, plugs and outlets. They figured all that out for the most part. So there's a lot of good transformation. I guess the downside to it all, and I was thinking about this on my last flight, is that flying used to be a sanctuary without electronics.
And no more.
Without any, you know, you could read a book and just get through it. Now, you know, free Wi-Fi, and it's, you know, really fast, good Wi-Fi. So you really can't escape everything now. It's there's no transition.
No, you have to go to, you need to go to that remote island somewhere and be untethered, I would agree.
I don't even think the remote island is free of Starlink.
Well, you know, that's true.
No,
and
listen,
we saw that in the British Isles on some very remote
that.
Isles.
I always go back to the fact Mary and I were in Iceland. We were out on this
glacier,
very far out, and all of a sudden my cell phone goes off. And I have to tell you,
we were in the middle of nowhere, Anthony.
Where we live in the New York area, truthfully, people sometimes joke if I'm coming through Westchester County in New York and my cell phone doesn't work. They're like, what? But it's always interesting. So, you know, I just want to, one other thing I'll just throw out to you really quick with you. You know, you spend a lot of time at airports. What are one or two things that you really recommend? Yeah, I mean, listen, whether it's the restaurants, what is it that you love most about airports?
Airport restaurants, yeah.
Airport restaurants. I think they've put a lot of the, at least in the new designs, a lot of the activity, which used to kind of be over in a corner near gate, you know, A27, and, you know, there may be a good restaurant. They've seemed to kind of migrate them out into where everything is happening, kind of the flow of traffic. I think a lot of the nicer establishments where you can get something to drink and a, you know, decent food. Of course, you know, it'll be expensive because you're in an airport. It's always like more expensive, but it's kind of in the flow of traffic and movement. So, you know, the people watching that type of thing is kind of like being out on a street in Europe.
Well, Anthony, so
I kind of like that evolution.
I can appreciate that. Well, I'm going to leave it today. We wanted to get into also these gate passes with you for folks, non-travelers. We'll have to do that at another time. Very nice connecting with you. Certainly think about next weekend being Labor Day. A lot of people flying and experience airports, and iFly.com is ready to help them. So appreciate it and enjoy the weekend, okay?
We're ready. Appreciate it. Great talking with you.
Yeah, you as well. Thank you.
Cheers.
All Bye-bye. The best. Cheers. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, there we are. The gate pass we will get to at some point, Mary, because there's a lot of that going on out there regarding
more and more airports are allowing non-flyers.
Non-passengers being able to get to gates. So we'll get into that. But right now we are about to hit the bottom of the hour break. So we are going to step aside right now. Up next, Rudy tells us he's going to be discussing travel credit cards. Three more segments are still ahead today. Thanks for being part of our national broadcast on this August 24th, everyone. The show returns in mere moments.
Today's edition of RM World Travel will be right back, and you can always stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.